Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Valley Nordic. This is Chander in Palo Alto.
Hi, everyone. Arne in Oslo here.
So today is the kickoff of season 4. So we made it to season 4, Arne. Congrats.
Yeah. Congrats to you, too.
Yeah. Hope you all enjoyed the holidays and New Year's. I think we were off for almost of December and January. So we are glad to be back. A lot has changed in the market while we were away. So I thought we start off season 4 with just discussing what's happening in the market. How's that, Arne?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, it's a non-box episode. So that means Arne's New Year resolution is to get out of the box.
Let's see if we can make it. It's a scary proposition.
Well, I'm glad you're trying. So I think the broad trends we want to cover are, you know, what's happening in the stock market, what's happening in the crypto market, and what's happening in the venture or private market. But I think we can do a small recap of the major tech events in the last couple of months. So that gives some context on why things we are going to discuss will happen. So shall I start, Arne, with that? It's not in any order. It's basically what was coming to my mind, what I remembered, what has happened in the last 2 months. So PayPal announced earnings and guidance, which was lower than people expected. They basically said consumer spending won't be as high as they anticipated. So their stock went down 20%. And then the Meta stock is down 25-6% today because they announced earnings yesterday and their monthly active users were lower, profit was lower, etc.
Hold on, we've been off the air for a long time. Meta in existence last time we podcasted, or is that a news since then?
No, they changed the name end of October. So it was Facebook. It was Meta before we went on a break.
Okay.
Then Spotify, the earnings were fine, but they were in the news because it's a classic platform thing. What does the platform control and monitor or mediate? So Joe Rogan, who's a podcast host, said something about COVID vaccination, which a lot of people did not like and was considered misinformation. So Neil Young and many other musicians boycotted them. I'm hearing an echo.
Yeah, for some reason, some other headphones switched on.
Okay. Yeah, it went away now.
Yeah.
Microsoft bought Activision. That's big news. That was $65 billion, or a huge amount.
$68 billion.
$68 billion. Yeah. So that, you know, Microsoft is mainly an enterprise company. They have had Xbox for a while. And they were trying to be consumer, but this is a big push on the consumer side. But I think a lot of it might be, you know, making market for their cloud business. If all the games are hosted in the cloud, they can get over the latency problems. So who knows? I didn't study it in that.
Well, I think it's more than that, to be honest, because, I mean, even if Microsoft is a enterprise company, primarily they are, you know, one of probably 4 biggest players in gaming in the world. Yeah. You know, on the console side, there's this battle going on between Sony and Xbox, Sony and Microsoft, mm-hmm. about being the leader. And it used to be very much so that it was relatively few of the titles that were exclusive, but this is definitely changing now. So I think there's something about that going on as well.
Yeah, I mean, they bought LinkedIn as well, which is, you can say, well, they make money from enterprise, but and users, consumers. So they're kind of, you know, diversifying their Windows portfolio or outside of the Windows portfolio. Then the crypto market is down, which we will talk about. And then IPO valuations, the companies which went public in 2021, most of them are now trading below their IPO price. I think Arne and I will talk about that as well, why that is happening. CES happened, kind of, it was supposed to be in person. CES is Consumer Electronics Show, the biggest tech event in the world. It used to have like 150,000 people attend, but since COVID, it's mainly virtual, but they still had booths. So the highlight was cars. So the latest consumer electronic thing is cars. Netflix was also down because they didn't meet the expectations for growth. Peloton was down as well. They had some fiascos related to advertising, but I think the earnings were also down.
And to be fair, Peloton's revenue has been highly accelerated by COVID.
Yeah. So now that COVID is easing, of course, you know, they can't keep up with the same growth rate.
Yeah.
And then there is slowdown in, let's say, new investments in the private world or venture world, which also we will discuss. So all that boils down to, why is the stock market down? Why is the crypto market down? And why are the VC investments down? Is that a good summary, Arne?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's start with, why is the stock market down?
Well, I guess we first should talk about the stock market, you know, what is happening in the market before we sort of break down the components. So the reality is that the stock market is down, but the stock market isn't as much down as a tech person would think it is. So the stock market, so if you look at the S&P 500 or the Dow, the S&P 500 is down 5% for the year. Mm-hmm. It was down to minus 10% at some point, but it sort of rebounded a little bit. And that's not a major downturn. And the Dow, which is the biggest companies, is down 3% for the year and was down to minus 5-6%. Mm-hmm. So actually the stock market is down, but not massively. But if you look at NASDAQ, it's down 10% for the year. It was down 15% at the worst point. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, in Oslo, the stock market is not down. It's flat. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you look at the difference between what is the NASDAQ versus what's the Dow is a broad basket of large companies, whereas the NASDAQ is a tech index. So tech is down, for sure. And if you look at something called the Emerging Cloud Index, which is like a basket of SaaS and cloud companies, that is down 20% for the year and 35% since November. So that one started sliding already in November. Mm-hmm. And that's a massive, that's essentially losing a third since the top. Mm-hmm. So there's actually, if you look at the stock market, the reality is that it's flat-ish overall. But growth shares, which is mainly tech, but also a little bit of other things, is down quite a lot. And value stocks are actually flat or up. That's what's going on. Mm-hmm. So there's this shift from money chasing growth to money chasing profits. So mm-hmm. I think that's a big takeaway. But what's down is Nasdaq, SaaS companies, and crypto, right? So if you look at the crypto numbers, the crypto started sliding in November, approximately at the same time as tech stocks. And Bitcoin is down 40% since that point. And ETH, or, you know, the currency of Ethereum, is down 50% since that time. And that's sort of, you know, the crypto market is always more volatile than the stock market has always been, and it continues to be more volatile. And that means when you know, the whatever, you know, people were thinking that, and some people were discussing that crypto was decorrelated from stocks and so forth. It turns out that it's somewhat highly correlated, or at least it seems so in the short term, with tech stocks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's like the highlight of what's going on in, you know, the markets where you can put numbers on things.
Yeah. So that's, you know, we covered stock and crypto. You want to cover what's happening in private or venture markets?
So just take one step back. So 2021, if you look at private markets, is a bunch of things. But if you look at like tech private markets and VC, this was like pretty much all time high, or on the level of the dot-com area in terms of certainly investments, but also the value development was massive in 2021. A huge number of new unicorns, number of deals, and particularly the amount of money invested was like all-time high by or in the last 20 years, by far outreaching any other year.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going on there now, of course, is kind of like, you know, private markets aren't rated every day on the stock exchange or something like that. So there, you know, it typically takes a quarter for numbers to appear.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have like, I can't say it's down X percent. But I think what's going on in VC startup private tech world is essentially that it sort of adjusts to the public markets, but it adjusts somewhat slowly, and it adjusts at a different pace in different parts of that market. And so there is a trickle down effect. It's hard to tell how big it is, but I think the shares that are most rapidly impacted by this, and also most impacted, are the mature companies that are about to, you know, would have IPO'd this year, or are about to IPO this year or next year or whatever, because essentially next time they need to raise money, they are impacted with whatever multiple is in the public markets. We need to price in private markets, because that's what gives us the upside until the point where it's listed. Mm-hmm. So that and that's impacted by the investors that have been very active in that that space, like Tiger Global and so forth, are what we call crossover investors, and they invest both in, you know, public markets and private markets. And they see that part of their portfolio is down, and that impacts how you think about private companies as well. So the late stages will see a repricing now, and probably have already seen it. We might not see it in the announcements now, because the deals that are being announced now are probably deals that term sheets were signed in December or November or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the publicity around it also comes later. And also valuations are not as transparent in private markets, but that trickle-down effect I'm pretty sure comes. And then, you know, if you look at the later stages, you know, the earlier stages are also impacted with what can you raise money at the later stage. So when the later stages reprice, the earlier stages reprice. The question is when, how aggressively, and if you go down to pre-seed or seed, it probably doesn't adjust very rapidly or a whole lot unless there's more shakeout in the market, simply because there's a lot of money still in the market in funds to invest. There's competitive to get the best deals. And, you know, whatever pricing event in a public market or something like that happens a long way in the future. So that effect is much harder to correlate directly.
How much of this, you know, is actually happening? I read that two things. The total amount of venture invested in January was lower compared to the same period last year. And also the valuations you mentioned are lower now for later stage companies, meaning in terms of multiple of revenue. Are you seeing that, or I forget where I read it?
I don't operate as much in the later stages of the market, but I'm sure you see it a little bit everywhere. But it is obviously less transparent. But you know, in the private markets, you price a lot of multiples, right? You do comparables and multiples. And if you go back to what's happening in the markets, so you know, if people have listened to this podcast before, you might have noticed that one category of companies I like is SaaS companies.
Specifically B2B SaaS. That's their box.
I hope you wouldn't notice, given that we're boxless this year. But it's a very well-defined category of companies. They're well-defined also for building companies, because there are lots of metrics around them and you know how to deal with these types of assets. Yeah. And particularly if you've looked into it a little bit. So typically SaaS companies have a recurring revenue stream. They're always very high gross margin, and your valuations is you know, correlated with the multiples you see in the market. So you can have there are lots of reports out there about public market SaaS companies and private market SaaS companies, and they're bracketed into profitability and growth rates and this sort of thing. So you find a lot of numbers, right? Mm-hmm. But if you look at the emerging cloud index that I talked about is one indice of that. But there's also typically what you look at it software as a service companies is the company valuation or value. Enterprise value, most likely, over the revenue or the ARR or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the metrics change. You know, they're a little bit different. Sources have a little bit different definitions of them. But if they're pure ARR companies, then the revenue is very similar to the ARR. If you look at the public markets and the public market companies and the like top 100 companies in the public markets, these are, you know, big companies. And because they're so big, they sort of have a growth rate that's slower than a, you know, startup. But if you look at the box of public companies over a long time, these companies were trading at between 8 to 12 times revenue.
Revenue, yeah.
Yeah. And as COVID hit, this metric dropped. It was for the last year, before COVID, it was kind of at 12, which was a high at that time. Mm-hmm. And then when COVID hit, it dropped quickly to 8, which was sort of the lower bound of the normal range. And as people figured out that, all right, the world is surviving even with COVID, and we need to do more things digitally, which means selling more SaaS subscriptions, the market adjusted and valued SaaS companies higher. And so at about a year ago in January 21, the multiple on revenue for the collection of SaaS companies in the public market was at 22. That was the all-time high. It was almost double the high end of the range it was normal trading in. And then it's been bouncing around between, 15 and 22 for about a year, while COVID has been in full-fledged and this company has been working, growing fast, and people have seen the value of these. Mm-hmm. And as this market turmoil started, or readjustment started, it's dropped, and it's now on around 12 again. So it's come back to, if the normal range of valuation multiples on revenue for SaaS companies. So COVID was an abnormality where these companies were seen as particularly valuable because of the growth, because of the other assets not performing, and because of the digital transformation going on. And now the expectation is that growth will slow down again, and then the metric goes back to the normal range. And so if you then in the private markets, you say, okay, we need to look at the normal graphs of what are the multiples of revenue compared to whatever profitability and whatever growth this company has, you're back into the normal range if you do it systematically and metrics-based compared to what you could do last year. And I don't think that private markets will drop to half the price of last year. I think that's an overreaction the other way, because there's still a lot of money chasing deals in this market. But this is the kind of like multiple exercise people will do, particularly at the late stages. If you're going to invest in a SaaS company, it will be priced like the other SaaS companies once it goes into the public markets. You just can't double the price in the private market if you're going to IPO.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Arne. So why is this happening? What triggered it? What changed?
Yeah, I think this is sort of mostly macroeconomics, but one thing is obviously that COVID accelerated the digital transformation, which means that growth rates went up for those who are selling products and services in that space. Mm-hmm. And which means that growth rates were going up. And if the world goes back to a more normal thing, that acceleration, you will have a deceleration relative to the accelerated state, right? Or more a normal acceleration rather than the hyper-accelerated state. So that's like a fundamental around this type of assets or stocks. But there are also more sort of important things in the world. And one is that there's been a lot of money printing, particularly in the US, but in the Western world, mm-hmm. to keep the wheels turning through COVID. And it's caused inflation. There's inflation in most economies these days, and inflation is generally bad. At least at the level where it has been now, like the 5% range or something. And what happens then? Well, inflation in itself is bad. So future cash flows become less valuable than present cash flows when inflation is high. So that's one fundamental element. What happens is also when there's inflation, central banks tend to increase interest rates. So, cost of capital goes up. And the other thing is that to cure inflation, you start pulling back on the money supply. So central banks, particularly in the US and so forth, have to say, well, we can't keep printing money because it causes inflation and there's less money supply. All of this sort of underpins the fact that future cash flows are less valuable than present cash flows. Mm-hmm. And that means that whilst with low inflation and low cost of capital, it might be better to have a company that grows fast and have lots of cash flows in 5 years, and less so having one that negative inflation rate pays you dividends this year, right? But when that reverses, the value of those two shares shift. And that's why, you know, people sell tech stocks and buy some stock that pays dividends, right? Or a value stock for any kind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the I think the fundamental around these stocks and the fundamentals around economics is driving this. In addition to finally, also the, you know, there are some things in the world today that are not, you know, insecurity, I think, around political situations and conflicts around the world, labor markets being out of balance a little bit with the, you know, what they've named the Great Resignation and so forth. And in the insecurity or essentially risk also gets priced into the market a little bit.
Okay. So let me rephrase to make sure I got it. What you're saying is the market is down because the investors thought the growth we saw because of COVID and digital SaaS will last forever, and now it's not. So all these smart people managing other people's money were wrong. Then second, because government printed a lot of money so that people, you know, have money to spend and live, especially in the US, and businesses are saved, etc., that caused inflation. That means, you know, things are more expensive. What that means is the future earnings of the business are less valuable than the current earnings. So that changes how you value the stock, because future earnings are less valuable now. And third is the cost of capital is high, because previously, let's say I could borrow money at 2% interest, now I have to pay 7% or something. Yeah. Is that
I would agree. I think your first statement is a bit tabloid. You know, in defense of the poor money managers in the world, I will reject the notion that they're stupid and didn't know that growth were ending. Although there could be a little bit of that as well, but there's a rationale to doing what's been done, and that is so that you don't know exactly how long things continue to grow at the rate.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do know is that parts of the market was essentially a negative yield. So treasury bonds and these things are negative yield, right? And so you had few places to put money. Okay, you could buy a dividend stock, but if you get dividend and it has negative interest rate on where you put the dividend, that's also not good. So the trickle-down effect works the other way, right? And then so there's nowhere else to put the money into than into growth stocks. And if you were to do that, you know, you have a positive value development for that stock. And assuming you see the switch before other people and manage to exchange the growth stock from a value stock before others, you won. But of course, there's a certain zero-sum game in market corrections that clearly someone will not win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's it depends on, you know, who the money managers are, etc. But I said they were wrong about you know, how long did they thought the growth would last, because of COVID. It was, you know, high growth in digital companies because everything was digital. You couldn't go out. The services economy went down and the goods economy went up. E-commerce, advertising, anything digital was up. And now when we are coming out somewhat from COVID, those rates are not continuing, the growth rates, like you saw with, you know, earnings from Peloton, from PayPal, from Meta, from Netflix. The growth they experienced was temporary. And what you're saying is some people thought it would be, managers thought it would be temporary and they got out, but others thought they would, it would last long or longer. So they, you know, didn't get out. But
absolutely, absolutely. And there's also a little bit that, you know, this gets boxed, for a better word, into a collection of assets, right? That may or may not be the same. So let's take an example. You could choose to buy Peloton and Zoom, right? Or you could choose to buy Amazon and Microsoft. They're, you know, kind of tech stocks.
Yeah.
Both of those two sort of mini portfolios, if you call two stocks mini portfolios. Yeah. It's much clearer that the growth is going to stop for Peloton and Zoom when COVID eases. It's not as clear that that is going to happen for Microsoft and Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, Microsoft, they're going to use less Teams. But Teams is not a big moneymaker for Microsoft, whereas the transition to cloud mm-hmm. is kind of like this tidal wave that just keeps pushing, right? So I'm pretty sure that, you know, the transition to AWS and Azure, you know, is going to be pretty solid with or without COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, I buy that argument, but I don't buy, oh, there's no, because interest rates are negative, so let's buy growth stocks. I think they're much less risky things to do. With the money, and there are a lot of places to invest. You don't have to buy growth stocks. And if you do buy, then you have to know what you're getting into and when to get out, which is very, very hard to do when to get out. Like in your example, if let's say you're sitting on billions of dollars and you have to pay interest to keep it in bank instead of getting it, you could buy Microsoft or Apple rather than buying Zoom or, I don't know, Peloton.
Yeah, but I think you're right. That said, if you're a long tech investor,
mm-hmm.
you know, the macro trend is that the world is going digital. Yeah. And okay, by timing the market correct, you could probably make a game, right? So say you buy that long trend and you say, okay, I sold everything in November and I bought everything now, and then I sit again. You would make more money than sitting through it. But if you don't try to time the market to just invest the macro trend, you're out on top through COVID anyway, because what happens is that the level of tech stocks are still much higher than they used for COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still there, Arne?
Still there, Arne?
Oh, yeah, you're back.
Apologies for this problem with the headset here. I don't know. I have Bluetooth issue on the phone.
Yeah, you're back on, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, so what I'm saying is, if you bought tech stocks before COVID and you're still holding on to them, you're still out on top because the macro trend carries, and it was just accelerated over a few years period, and you come out on top.
Yeah, it depends what you bought. If you bought the IPOs, you didn't.
No, if you bought the IPOs last year and you're selling now, you're not making money.
Yeah.
Broadly speaking.
Yeah. I think timing the market is, I don't know how anybody does it. It's really, really, really hard. Some you may get lucky, but actually knowing I don't know how to do it. Maybe some people do.
nor do I. I'm more interested in investing in fundamentally great companies that are growing for a long time and accumulate. That's what is the interesting part of it.
Okay, let's talk about crypto for a minute. Why would crypto be down? I thought, like you said, it was decoupled from mainstream, but now we are learning it's not from tech. Like, that was why BlackRock, all these big guys were buying it, because if market goes down, you now have Bitcoin. So what?
Well, you can say it's slightly more opaque. Why crypto broadly is down. But you can say, okay, so why would you buy crypto? You would buy crypto because, there's a few places to put money. There's this, through the negative yield on treasury, there was this, okay, well, there's very little yield anywhere. Where can we put it, right? So there's some sort of, searching for alternatives that led a lot of money to go in. And then there was like a lot of people who said, well, okay, inflation is going to come, and at least Bitcoin and Ethereum are, particularly Bitcoin, are known for being like a hedge against inflation. Mm-hmm. and to some extent Ethereum, if you take the long view on it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's so that when crypto is fundamentally volatile and the market shifts and you can get some yields again, or it's worth having value stock, money shifts as well. And then, the market shifts with it. And if the Bitcoin goes down, of course, the inflationary hedge doesn't work very well, right? And as well, there's probably just opportune speculation and trading in that market. That's a lot of it. And also that there's a lot of leverage. So people have bought Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever with a lot of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sort of this self-reinforcing effect when it goes down, you have to sell to cover your debt, and that has a self-reinforcing effect that you sell more and it becomes a market where there are more sellers and rate goes down, obviously. So there's a lot of sort of intricacies of how that market works. Deleveraging is what they call the last one, right?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So it's kind of like, let's say, in what sounds like you're saying is kind of what happened in 2000 in the dot-com world, because people were buying margin, basically on leverage, and they got margin calls and people had to sell it. That's what
exactly
things happen, but the world today.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's of course hard to decorrelate that from sort of fundamental speculation swings and the fact that even if there's not a specific cash flow associated with crypto, of course there is in some of the staking and so forth, but just holding a coin, it doesn't have a cash flow, but regardless, the idea of holding it, if it doesn't have any yield, is that you can sell it for a higher price in the future. And if the cost of capital goes up, it's also more attractive relative to hold an asset that generates cash flow now. So, for example, the value stock. So the crypto side of things is very opaque and very complex, and you don't know what is the leading mechanism that's driving it. But I think once it starts falling, I think the deleveraging is an important factor in it, simply because there's so much leverage in the market.
Yes, but on some positive side of crypto NFTs are becoming more mainstream. Of course, there's a lot of speculation, et cetera, but I see, you know, like real use of NFTs more and more. We talked about, you know, the Beeple painting and Top Shots, et cetera, but it's becoming more and more prevalent now.
Nobody's certain where the market goes short term, but I'm not sort of fundamentally lost faith in new technology. I think, you know, the crypto Web3 space is fundamentally interesting. It's early days. I mean, I fundamentally believe in tech changing the world still. I think it's still hard to find real returns in the market. And there's lots of cash chasing that. So I think, the market will be okay in the mid to long term. What will happen in the short term, I can't guess. Of course, if, so one of the big problems in the world sort of takes over, a new pandemic or a larger invasion of a country or something like that, that can change direction of the market into something that's fundamentally bad.
Yeah. But eventually it comes back out. But that eventually may be 20 years, so we don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
I hope we can avoid a market where sort of the main shares to own is sort of defense contractors and companies selling vaccines. I hope that there's other things that will go really well as well.
Yeah, I think we covered that in our end of the season episode, the major trends. And the things which I am excited about are the space tech, a lot of cool stuff happening there. And also, biotech or genetics tech, gene tech, but basically combining of IT with biology. I think a lot of cool stuff is happening there. You can say, pharma is one of them, but there's so many more applications. So again, I don't know timing, how long it'll take for all those things to be commercialized.
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of cool tech out there, and some will probably change their lives quicker than others. And it's very hard to predict, obviously, when you talk about those deep tech things. I think space tech is happening.
Yeah.
And some other things are happening, but it's just hard to say it. Yeah. At what rate and how far out is the real change?
Yeah. And blockchain also is happening. NFT is an example.
Yeah.
But we'll see, DAO to some extent is being, a lot of experiments are happening. Like this we talked about 3 years ago. Still experiments are happening, some small successes, but I think eventually there will be a breakthrough because conceptually, in some cases, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so on that positive note, we should end here. Thanks for joining us. Nothing we discussed is investment advice. We are not telling you to buy or sell anything. It's, the podcast is about Arne and I, a VC and an entrepreneur, sharing their perspectives. Yeah, and today it was out of the box episode. So thank you, Arne, for indulging me.
For sneaking an invisible box in there.
Yeah, we'll be back to the box with the next episode.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you soon. Bye.